Peter, happy holidays. How are you?
Hey, Brad, how are you? Happy to be on with you again, and thanks for the partnership this year. I've really had a lot of fun talking to you every week.
It's been a great time, Peter, and you've got Arizona about 4.5 weeks away now for Super Bowl time. Do you have a, before we get into this, do you have a Super Bowl spot out here you want to hit up?
Well, I'm a pretty simple Italian food guy, and so, you know, Brad, you probably don't know this about me, but I have this one long weekend every year that I come, either I come with my wife or I come with my brother-in-law or a couple of friends. It's always in March. I always stay at the Biltmore, and I always go to 3 spring training games in the Valley. And when possible, there's an Italian restaurant up there near the Biltmore called Tommaso's.
Yep.
That I ate there a couple of times. It's just very, it's very good Italian, very simple Italian. And my idea of nirvana is spring training in Arizona. When I retire, I'm going to lobby for 365 day a year spring training games in Scottsdale. So just to let you know, I'll probably need some help promoting that on your talk show.
And we can certainly oblige with that. Here's the problem for you though this year, Peter. The storylines of spring training, we'll get off the NFL stuff in a minute. The storylines for spring training are going to be so good this year with everything
they
that's
really
going on.
Are.
It's going to be tough for you to pick 3 games, right? You got to go to the Cubs.
Oh, I know, because first of all, you know, the Giants will be sort of redone. You know, they'll have a different team, no Sandoval. You know, the Padres are going to be, you won't recognize the Padres. Not that you knew anything about the Padres to begin with.
Sure.
You know, the Diamondbacks are going to have some changes. The Dodgers are going to look different. The Giants trying to win it again. Just really, there are going to be so many fun stories, so many good stories out there come late February.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to seeing you during Super Bowl week. Bruce Arians starting Logan Thomas. What do you make out of it? From my view, it's, look, Stanton's got to be 100% or close to it. I don't know if he will be at that mark. Bruce said yesterday, Stanton will be ready to go for the playoffs. I'm not going to say this is an exhibition game, but in some respects, you got to find out about Logan Thomas, right? Do you understand what he's doing?
Well, and not only that, but I just will tell you this. And I was in Seattle last week, and had a really good talk with Pete Carroll, and one of the things he talked about was in facing San Francisco, Arizona, and St. Louis the last 3 weeks, he felt like that really gets them road tested for the playoffs. And I said to him, I said, this division right now, the physicality of the division, it reminds me of the NFC East I used to cover in the mid-'80s when the Giants, Washington, Philly, and Dallas, you needed 2 weeks to recover after you played one of the teams in the division because they were all so physical. So let me just say this. Even though St. Louis looked terrible against the Giants the other day, Jeff Fisher has a way about him that they will play, in my opinion, a really competitive game up in Seattle. I don't expect that they'll win, but it will not shock me if the Cardinals look up in the middle of the third quarter and it's 10-7, you know, in the other game up in Seattle. But I agree with you. I don't see the real profit in playing Ryan Lindley this week. I think you're much better off trying to play a more mobile, physical quarterback against San Francisco. And you're right. See what you've got. I was saying the same thing the other day about the Bears. Why not play David Sale in the last game? Kid from San Jose State who they drafted, who the Patriots tried to steal off their practice squad. Play these guys. See what you have. It's the exact same thing. Not only do you not have faith in Ryan Lindley, but you do want to see what you have for the future with Logan Thomas.
Because they're going to go on the road in all likelihood. And look, yeah, running back Andre Ellington, you know this, Peter, shelf life of an NFL running back, 2.5 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Ellington gets beat up. They've had to go with Stephon Taylor, practice squad guys. They got real questions at running back coming into 2015. Steve Keim's done a great job, but at quarterback, Carson Palmer's been brittle. There's no other way to put it. Drew Stanton gets hurt, and you don't know about Logan Thomas and Ryan Lindley.
And the other thing that you really want to know, if you're Steve Keim, if you're Terry McDonough, if you're that front office, what you want to know coming into this draft, where there are going to be a lot of second and third round caliber quarterbacks in this draft.
Yep.
If you're a Cardinals, you're not in the Jameis Winston Derby, I wouldn't think, or the Mariota Derby, obviously. But you might be in play for one of these other quarterbacks, in the second or third or fourth round. So I totally agree with you. I want to see four quarters of Logan Thomas under fire.
Peter King with us. Peter King brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura. Talk to him about your retirement questions, more confident retirement. Jeremy's office in Scottsdale. He can be reached at 480-922-4216. Peter King with us every week. Is Bruce Arians still your runaway, or I shouldn't put words in your mouth, is he still your coach of the year, or Jason Garrett, even Pete Carroll? Is the door going a different direction now, Peter?
Bruce Arians is my coach of the year today. Jason Garrett is a contender. Bill Belichick will be a contender, in my opinion. My assistant coach of the year, I'd say right now it's going to be either Todd Bowles or Rod Marinelli. Rod Marinelli is coming on strong for their defense to have taken all the hits that they have and to be starting, in my opinion, from a position of weakness this year in Dallas. I thought their defense was going to be horrible, and they've played very well, and it's becoming a position of strength for them. So, I think both of those guys deserve it. And you didn't ask me, but in my opinion, I think Bowles and Arians for those two awards, even though there isn't an official award. But at the MMQB, we will be giving out an assistant coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that Todd Bowles will be staying up very late next Monday night in anticipation of our story next Tuesday with the assistant coach of the year.
Is he going
to? Just won't be able to sleep. It'll be like Christmas Eve.
There you go. There you go. And put that on the resume. Not that he's going to need any more hardware for the resume, but he's going to get a job this offseason.
I think that the top two candidates out there right now in the eyes of the NFL, top two, are Todd Bowles and David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford. Now, I think Shaw is going to stay in, and I think Todd Bowles is going to get a job. I think Dan Quinn of the Seahawks, the defensive coordinator, has got a very good chance to get a job. I think those three guys probably are the leaders, and then you start getting into Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator of the Patriots, getting a second shot. So we'll see. I think those are all good guys to interview.
Are there dots that can be connected through the tree that's been in Todd Bowles' past? You know what I mean by that? Front office people that have dealt with him. Do you have dots there? My understanding is the Jets, there's some dots there.
Well, but I also think if you look at Todd Bowles, I think one of his champions is Bill Parcells. So I think if you are a team right now, one of the things that if I'm looking at head coaches, I want to know who has influenced you in the past. And if I've got a head coach who's had the imprint of Bill Parcells and Bruce Arians on him, and you go back to, Bill Parcells, his mentor in life, going back to high school, is a guy named Mickey Corcoran, who once coached Vince Lombardi, rather. And in addition, and you got Bruce Arians, who goes back to Bear Bryant, who uses a lot of Bear Bryant-isms, which is coach him hard, hug him later. That's the thing he takes most from Arians. If you're Todd Bowles, you have a great pedigree built up that's gotten you ready to be a head coach in the NFL in 2015.
A couple other questions with Peter King, the MMQB. Peyton Manning, are you concerned about him?
I think concerned is the right word. I don't see a lot of difference in him necessarily. I think the biggest difference I saw last night in that game, his protection was awful. And Julius Thomas, who has been a constant security blanket until he sprained his ankle a little over a month ago, him being, iffy and going out again last night with that same ankle sprain, him being iffy is a very worrisome factor if I'm Denver going into the playoffs. I would, if I were John Fox, this weekend. I'm not playing Julius Thomas against Oakland. I want him to be absolutely healthy, because if they play a playoff game without Julius Thomas, I don't love their chances. So I would be worried about Manning, but I'd be worried mostly about him, not because everybody says his arm strength is really diminished. I do think it's diminished. I'd be worried mostly about protection and the fact that his tight end that he absolutely loves is just not there right now.
I saw where you were in Seattle, and you mentioned it earlier, and you did a video interview with Russell Wilson I'm going to check out later. Where do you come down on Marshawn Lynch and how he handles post games?
Two things. You know, Marshawn Lynch, you know, like with the crotch grab the other day, you know, the unfortunate thing is Marshawn Lynch is a great running back. Truly, you know, he's one of the best running backs I've seen in my 30 years covering the NFL. He's a vicious, hard-running, he's just a great physical running back, okay? So after one of the great runs any of us has seen, certainly this year and in a long time,
yep,
we're talking about what an idiotic thing he did at the end, grabbing his crotch and sort of thrusting it at the crowd or whatever. I don't know what he was doing. But just crude, ridiculous, embarrassing. And then the way he does his press conferences now, it's you know, first of all, whatever the crotch grab was intended for, is, to me, he's saying to the fans, hey, or he's saying to whoever, I don't have a lot of respect for you. And then he's saying to the public, as well as the press, I don't have any respect for you, because the representatives of the public, which is the press, ask you questions and you make a mockery of the process. It's not World War III. I don't think he ought to be, you know, suspended for 8 games or anything like that, but I would like him to grow up. I don't know that he will, but I would like him to grow up. It doesn't seem to be happening, though.
Yeah, I mean, the concern is, I heard C.J. Anderson was trying to do the same thing last night after the game, and, you know, you can't have that throughout the league, but what can the league do? You know, that it's a real slippery slope.
I think it is too, Brad. I think that the league is going to be confronted with it again if Seattle makes the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I'm interested to see how they handle it.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always, Peter. Thank you.
Happy holidays, Brad. Thank you.
You too, Peter.